Exodus, and chapter 2, and we'll read all of the chapter. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw 2 Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" And the man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. And when the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early?" And they answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" Reuel asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man and gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and they cried for help. And they cried for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Let's turn to God again. I am last eater, and therefore it is consumed in about 5 to 10 minutes. A lot of time goes into preparing my meal, but I down it pretty quickly. Sometimes it takes a long time, does it, to prepare a meal? Sometimes it can take hours. Several centuries ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a bird. A number of months passed, then several years, and still no painting was brought to the palace. Finally, the emperor became so exasperated and he went to the artist's home to demand an explanation. Instead of making excuses, the artist placed a blank canvas on the easel. In less than an hour, he completed a painting that was to become a brilliant masterpiece. When the emperor asked the reason for the delay, the artist showed him armloads of drawings of feathers, wings, heads, and feet. Then he explained that all of this research and study had been necessary before he could complete the painting. It only took him a short amount of time to paint this masterpiece, and yet it took many, many, many days to prepare himself for painting it. Why has God saved us? God has saved us in order that we might serve him. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But sometimes it takes a long time for God to prepare us for certain tasks that he wants us to fulfill. And in these verses that we're looking at tonight, we see that it took many years to prepare Moses for the great task that God gave to him, this task of leading the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and towards the promised land. And this passage highlights three different places where God prepared him over a period of time. Firstly, at home, secondly, at the palace, and thirdly, at work in the field. Firstly, at home. As I've already said, in order to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, God planned to raise up a man named Moses from the tribe of Levi. But at the time that Moses was born, Pharaoh's plan to kill all the little Hebrew baby boys was in full operation. You can see that in verse 22 of the previous chapter. Well, his mother, understandably, was concerned to preserve his life, and so she hid him at home for 3 months. But there came a time when she could no longer hide him, and so she had a little basket built that she made waterproof. And with Moses in it, she placed him amongst the reeds of the Nile. We're all familiar, I'm sure, with the story. And she told her daughter Miriam to keep watch. Well, one day, the daughter of Pharaoh went down to the Nile to bathe. I don't know whether any in those days, I presume that there were a pretty big ones, not babies these days, but I'm sure that it was all done in a very safe and sensible manner. And she saw this little basket, and she had one of her attendants or one of her servants bring it to her, and when it was opened, there inside was the little baby Moses, and she felt sorry for him. So Moses' sister, who had been keeping watch, asked Pharaoh's daughter if she wanted her to go home and get one of the Hebrew women to look after him for her. In other words, Moses' mum. And she said yes. And so Moses ended up being looked after by his mum at home. And wonderfully, Pharaoh's daughter was willing to pay his mother to look after him. Now at this point, let me make a number of what I'm going to call confident assumptions. Confident assumptions. Firstly, Moses was brought up in a home where he was taught to fear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, to have a reverent respect for the God who created the world. And two, Moses was taught by his believing mother the promises of God given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Promises to make Abraham into a great nation, to give him and his descendants the land of Canaan, and to make him and his descendants a blessing to the world. I think that's a fair assumption, though you may choose to disagree with me. And I would argue that the time that he spent within this godly hope prepared him for the years to come. Now I know that not everybody is born into a godly Christian family, but I was. And I'm very thankful to God that I was. You see, I would argue that God used my godly and committed Christian parents to prepare me for a work that I would begin 26 years after being born. Where did I learn the truth about God? Where did I learn the authority of the scriptures? Where did I learn the need to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and in Him alone? Where did I learn the importance of committing oneself to the local church? Where did I learn faithfulness in tithing, even when money is tight? And so on and so forth. Well, not initially for my reading of the scriptures. In my formative years, I didn't really read the scriptures. I learned these things at home. I learned them from my parents. You see, Christian parents have a significant role to play when it comes to training children for future service or for future ministry, whatever that might be. Moses was prepared by God, firstly, at home. But secondly, I would argue, at the palace. As Moses grew older, Pharaoh's daughter took Moses into the palace, and he became her son. She named him Moses. I suspect it wasn't that easy for Moses to be taken away from his family. It must have been quite a wrench for him. Life would be very different in the palace than what it was in the Hebrew home. Very different environment indeed. And yet it was all part and parcel of God's training or equipping for future service. What sort of things would Moses have learned, do you think, at the palace that would equip him for leading the Israelites in the years to come? Well, how about these things? The language of the Egyptians. You see, there would come a time when Moses would have to go to Pharaoh and speak to Pharaoh. How about learning how to conduct himself in Pharaoh's court? Now I know that when Moses later went to speak to Pharaoh, he brought the word of God to him, and the word of God upset him. Well, fair enough, the word of God does upset people at times. There's nothing sometimes we can do about that if we're going to be faithful to God. But there was no reason for unnecessarily offending Pharaoh in Pharaoh's court. So it was good that he learned to conduct himself there. He would learn something of the gods of Egypt. The gods that one day he would have to confront or stand up against. He would also learn how to read and write and lead people or govern people. What a wonderful education he must have received at the palace as son of Pharaoh's daughter. But all good preparation for the future. As I was preparing, I thought, well, I wonder whether Moses liked the palace. Many young people today, I think, would like to live in a palace. Be able to enjoy the luxuries of living there, perhaps the popularity that goes with being a part of the royal family, but how Moses must have missed being with his own people, and perhaps being a part of family worship. It couldn't have been easy for him, could it? Being surrounded by so much false religion. But again, let me say, it was all part and parcel of his preparation for the future. You know, sometimes we can despise present circumstances, can't we? And all we desire is for our circumstances to be different. But God never makes mistakes. And he has put us where we are for the time being for a reason. And perhaps it is to show us and fashion us where we are. Perhaps he's allowed circumstances to come our way, to shape and fashion us, not only for the here and now, but for some ministry or service that he has for us in the future. In my early days of working at the architectural practice, I spent hours at the photocopier. Actually, not just hours, days, and what felt like months at times, just photocopying reports. It was incredibly boring. It was hot work, tiring work, and very frustrating work, because when you're using a photocopier all day, it gets hot, and there comes a time when it breaks down. It can be really annoying. I remember that there were times when I thought, what on earth am I doing here? I learned from that. Well, I'm not really sure what I learned from it, but that's patience. And perhaps a willingness to persevere when things are mundane and not particularly enjoyable. And those two things are important qualities, aren't they, that one needs in ministry? Patience and the ability to persevere. God was equipping and training Moses at home in his very early years, but also at the palace as he grew older, and then a bit later at work in the field, or in the fields. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them working, slaving away, making these straw bricks for the Egyptians. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And he was really angered by this because he killed the Egyptian. And then hit him in the sand, verse 12. What was he thinking? Did he intend to do this with every Egyptian slave driver he saw beating one of his own people? What did he hope to achieve by doing this? Surely he wasn't thinking of single-handedly setting his people free, was he? The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. And he asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? But the man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? So he asked the question again, what was Moses thinking? Was he thinking at this particular point that he could be ruler and judge over the Israelites? Whatever Moses thought process was at this stage, a number of things I think are clear. Firstly, he was not ready to set his people free. And secondly, they were not ready to have him as their leader. Plus the fact that word has gone out that he has killed the Egyptian. So it won't be very long before he's under the sentence of death. He's going to have to flee. He can't serve the Israelites. He's fleeing somewhere. But we see from the text that he has to flee to Midian. And it was in Midian that he ended up working as a shepherd for a man named Jethro, whose daughter Zipporah he married. He lived and worked as a shepherd for a long time in this land. Look at verse 23. You'll see that it talks about him being a long time in Midian. And again, I'm arguing that this was all part and parcel of God's preparation. What did he learn then as a shepherd in Midian? Well, let me suggest a great thing. Patience. God's people are often described in the scriptures as sheep. Sheep in need of a shepherd. Now, I've never looked after sheep before, but I never believed that the sheep are the easiest of animals to look after. They're rather awkward and stubborn and tend to want to do their own thing. Well, the Israelites wouldn't be an easy people to look after. They never seem to really accept Moses as their leader. They always wanted to go back to the place that God had rescued them from, and they were full of grumbling. In fact, their story really is one of grumbling, isn't it? Throughout their wilderness wanderings. They were enough to test any man's patience. I'm sure that God recognized that patience was something that Moses needed to learn. So firstly, patience, but secondly, suffering. It wasn't easy for Moses to live away from home and family and friends and familiar surroundings. There was a cost involved. He suffered. And yet, as we said this morning, it's through suffering that we learn so many important lessons. Suffering builds character. It strengthens perseverance. It enables us to comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. And Moses would need all of these qualities in leading the people of Israel. Patience, suffering, also bravery. Shepherds have to learn how to be brave because they have to fight wild animals that attack the sheep. And in those days, the kind of animals, dangerous animals that would have been around would have been lions, bears, wolves. Moses would have learned to be brave as a shepherd, and he needed to be brave because there would come a time when he would have to stand up and speak to the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh. And there would be times when he would have to lead the people into difficult situations, namely war. I might add this evening that having his own family must have helped prepare him for the future. When you have your own family, you see, you have to learn all kinds of leadership skills. There were many years of training, preparation for Moses before he eventually became a great leader of God's people. And there are a number of practical lessons I think we can learn from his story. And they are these. Firstly, we should not try to run ahead of God. We should not try to run ahead of him. I think back in Egypt, Moses might have been in danger of running ahead of God, seeking to do the things that he anticipated God wanted him to do before time. But clearly he wasn't ready. The people weren't ready. If it was not God's time. We can often be in a hurry to do things, but God is never in a hurry. His timing is always perfect. If I might be permitted to use a skiing illustration, my wife would be annoyed if she were here tonight. There are far too many young men that want to begin their skiing days by doing black rolls when they're not ready or competent to ski on a beginner run or a blue run, and personal injury is often the result. So firstly, we should not try to run ahead of God. We should seek to be clear that it is God's time. Secondly, we should serve God faithfully in the place or in the role where we are currently serving him until he clearly leads us on. This might be in the office of the photocopier, working on the photocopier, or in some other rather frustrating capacity, but there are no doubt lessons that God wants us to learn in these situations. And it's interesting that when young men express a desire to want to go into pastoral ministry, the advice that is often given to them is to go and find a secular job. And to gain experience there before entering into the pastorate. And then thirdly, we should be ready to give up whatever it takes, job, home, familiar surroundings, and so on, to respond to God's call when it comes. And of course, for Moses, this will come in the next chapter, chapter 3. I want to draw this sermon to a conclusion. And as I do so, I want to point out that Moses is yet another character in the Old Testament that points us to the Lord Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus was also born in humble circumstances, in ordinary circumstances, as a natural descendant of Abraham. Jesus too had a king who sought his life that was wonderfully preserved. Jesus too spent his early years living in Egypt. He too was called by God to be a leader of his people. He too was called to lead his people out of slavery, slavery to sin. He too was called to lead his people through a barren land, this barren land. And he too will lead his people safely home to Canaan, to the heavenly Canaan. Now I recognize in saying that, that Moses never actually led the Israelites into the land of Canaan itself. You know, that's as close as one can get, but not actually into the land itself. What a Savior God has given to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus. He too was prepared by God to serve us in a rather unique and remarkable way. And this is what we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 5 to 7. And it's a verse that I want to leave with you this evening. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. The plan from the foundation of the world was for God to provide redemption for his people. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He came in the flesh with a human body that was prepared for this very purpose. Well, I think that will lead us nicely into a time of communion. Well, that's right.